Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind here on WBAI. Tuesdays and most Wednesdays. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests, etc., etc., etc. Yesterday, we talked about paranoia. We talked about fear. And we talked about paranoia, and the opposite of paranoia has to do with something else I'd like to explore with you. Has to do with trust. Now, when you say the word trust, everybody has automatic ideas. Who do you trust? How do you trust them? Why should you trust someone? Why shouldn't you trust someone? We're going to explore it today in a little different way. But first, let me bring you something that you'll find of interest, which had to do with a recent survey on how people feel towards certain professions. Which are the most trustworthy, which are the least trustworthy, which have grown in trust and which have dropped in trust. According to a Gallup poll, they looked at the number of professions and they had a pick. Now, who do you think is the most trusted profession? Take a guess. What do you think it's going to be? In fact, I'm going to throw 20 names at you and you guess to yourself which you think would be the most trusted and which would be the least trusted. So I'll throw in labor union leaders, right? You could write that down, ULL. Building contractors, accountants, lawyers, funeral directors, stockbrokers, car salespeople, members of Congress, lobbyists, business executives, funeral directors, clergy, police officers, high school teachers, medical doctors, pharmacists. Now, which do you think was rated the highest, and which do you think was rated the lowest? Now, here's the question. I want you to rate the honesty and ethical standards of people in these fields. So I'm going to give you the list again. It's going to be bankers, building contractors, accountants, funeral directors, business executives, members of Congress, car salespeople, telemarketers, advertising practitioners. Could add them in, medical doctors, pharmacists, nurses, high school teachers, journalists. So when ranking these people, only six were rated 50% or better trust. Only six, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 15 were seen below 50% trust. So let's go over it a minute. The most trusted profession on the face of the earth, as judged by people who are asked questions, because you never know who they asked, were nurses. Yep, nurses. People trust nurses. The nurses seem to be, that profession seems to, in some way, engender this kind of feeling. People trust nurses most of all. Second to only one other group, which is pharmacists. People trust their pharmacists. We know pharmacists make mistakes, but we kind of get a basic idea that a pharmacist has a simple role in life. He can't make much profit more than he already makes. And, you know, there's no, we see no scams about pharmacists and what they do. He's like a middle guy, but you trust your pharmacist. Not that you could, but only 73% of the people do. I know if I get something from a pharmacist, I check it and make sure it's the right thing. You look at the strength, you look at where it comes from, all of that. But most people think their pharmacist is okay. Third on the scale is medical doctors. Yes, believe it or not, 70% of the people believe that the medical doctor functions from honesty and ethical standards and not from greed, fear, self-promoting, and trying to make a lot of money. They think the doctors are really committed. So people feel that way. This is what they feel. Next, they feel that high school teachers are the most trustworthy. You'd have to be. And after that, it's police officers. So even though all we know about corruption in the police department, half the people believe the police are non-corrupt. That's only half, though. Now, this used to be a much higher scale. It used to be that medical doctors were 90%. They're down to 70. And police officers used to be 90%. They're down to 54. But let's go a little further, because it's interesting, the clergy. Yep, it's 50-50 now with the clergy. If there was anybody you could trust, it would be clergy. You know, your rabbi, your priest. Used to be 95% of one person. I'll get my consulate. I'm sorry, they've fallen off to 52%. Who can you trust anymore? High on the list are funeral directors. Funeral directors, even though it's a 50%, but you trust a funeral director as much as you trust your priest, as much as you trust your cop, you know, policeman, because your funeral director, he may be hustling you a little bit, like selling you, I have a funeral joke. No, don't do it. Okay. Linda's making a face. I'm going to have to do it later, I'm sure. Next on the list of people who you don't trust, building contractors, right? But still, people have great trust in them. Now, the least, let's go down to the bottom. The least trustworthy, honest, and ethical standard of people is members of Congress. Members of Congress? What happened to Jimmy Stewart goes to Washington? What happens? What happened to us? Well, and this is since the latest poll was taken, since the latest administration, that the biggest distrust is members of Congress. Now, more than car salespeople, you trust them less than you trust people who sell you used cars. Oh, my gosh. Lawyers, by the way, they still hold a low standard, but they're somewhere around two-thirds down the line, right? Because, you know, it's all about making money. And bankers and so on and so forth. But lobbyists, members of Congress, what happened? So the lobbyists rate the same as the members of Congress. And what happened? What happened is the mask came off. And when the mask comes off, we tend to overreact. Because in all truth, what is trust all about anyway? What is it about? Why do I care if I trust you or you trust me? What do I care? Patients come in to see me, right? I've done psychotherapy for so many years. And very often a client will say, oh, I know I've got to trust you. And I say, no, you don't have to trust anything. I said, I'm a salesman. I sell therapy. That's what I do for a living. I'm going to convince you that therapy is good for you. You have to make believe that you have to either feel it or don't feel it. But don't trust me automatically. It would be crazier if you trusted me automatically than if you didn't trust me, because healthy skepticism, when you're buying something and putting out money, is appropriate. This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind. So automatic trust, I don't want that. Should you automatically trust anything? Well, I'm not sure. I was listening to, I'm going to play a pretty piece. Hold on a second. Listen to this. Here's something pretty. With all your heart and lean on nothing that you know. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will show you where to go. Trust in the Lord. In the Lord. With all your heart, and lean on nothing that you know. Nothing that you know. In all your ways. All your ways. Acknowledge him. And he will show you where to go. Every time I step out and driving on my own, I always end up in a tangled mess. So let my very first step that I take today beautiful a cappella singing, right? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. However, the lyrics are, every time I step out on my own, I mess it up. Therefore, I've got to trust in the Lord. Now, that may be a good idea. 99% of the people are stepping out. Let's say that if you have to doubt yourself, then you want to trust someone else. Now, this becomes a different issue. There are so many things about yourself that you can't trust. By the way, back just in the studio, Linda Vidal. Thank you for getting here, Linda.
Oh, you're welcome, Armand. It's a pleasure.
We were talking about trust as you and I reviewed a little earlier. What are some of the things that people doubt about themselves? What are some of the things that people don't trust in themselves?
Well, oftentimes people won't trust their impulses, their reactions, their needs, their neediness, their anger, their rage. Oftentimes is a self-doubt, so that there are many things and many times when someone won't go anywhere else, but kind of stay in that place.
So you don't trust your reactions. First, your impulses. They're the good thing. Do you trust your impulses? How about this? You don't trust your innocence. You don't trust that a part of you can be wide open to something and then feel as if you just let yourself be. We want to feel that way. We want to feel the innocence. But we don't trust our own need for that innocence. Therefore, we are cautious. And we are cautious with other people. And this is part of what we're talking about today. I don't trust my reactions. Now, Linda says reactions. You know, what reactivity do I have? If you say something to me that I don't like, I may react in a bad way. I don't trust myself to react. So you tell me how to react. See, therefore, we get jobs and we get churches and songs. Another thing that people don't trust is fight or flight. If you have rage inside you and you're afraid of it, then it's very hard to trust yourself, because you're afraid that rage is going to come out at any moment. So what you therefore do is you're very skeptical about people, because you're going to try to find somebody who's going to control you in some way, but you're afraid. You're afraid of your own reactions. And if you've been told often enough that you're inadequate, you don't trust yourself. You're told you're a child, you're inferior, you're inadequate. What could you do? So here's what happens. You learn to trust. Do you trust? You learn to trust yourself over time. You do, sure. Sure, you know, step on a crack, you're going to break your mother's back. You remember that, right? You learn to trust that that's not going to happen. You're going to learn to do a few things. But in relationships, there's a metaphor that I like that has to do with having a home. You have a home and someone knocks on the door and you open the door and they come in and they are abusive and destructive and you kick them out. Get out of my home. The next day somebody knocks on your door, you peek through the peephole before you let them in. They look okay, you let them in, they're abusive, you kick them out. Now you can't be sure. Third one knocks on the door, you look through the peephole, you try to keep them out, they open the door anyway, and they come right in. People barge into your life sometimes. You know, the metaphor works in relationships. So you get a lock. Fourth person knocks on the door. You look through the peephole. They look very sweet. Very, very, very sweet. So you undo the lock, you let them in, they abuse you. Kick them right out. Fifth person comes in. They look okay, and you have your lock, and you're not sure, and you say come back later, and then after a while, you finally let them in, and they abuse you, and you kick them out too, until finally, you make a decision. I know what I'll do. I'll build a room, an antechamber, where I could welcome everybody, but they can't get inside my house. That's why you see those little reception rooms in some of the mansions, you know. He can get just this so far. And if he's not trustworthy, everything could shut down and we could get rid of him right away, him or her. So we learn to divvy out our trust and keep ourselves protected. But the primary thing we don't trust is ourselves. There is no reason for me to trust or distrust anybody. I don't care. I mean, if you're hanging out with my baby, right? If I put a child, I'm in charge of a child, and I put a child in your hands, I want to trust you. But as far as I'm concerned, do I have to trust you? No. Do I trust everybody? No. Do I distrust anybody? No. Do I just know people enough to know that some people have quirks and others don't? Yes. Am I able to perceive quirkiness in people? Well, yeah, I'm phenomenal at it. I'm great at it. You may not be as good, so you have to be skeptical. But that's all right. Skepticism is fine, too. It's when it gets to a point where you're closing everybody out that you want to ask the question, hey, maybe I should challenge this trust thing of mine.
Well, yes, Aman, you see that many times here when people will come in and they'll say, I can't really have a relationship if I don't trust that person. So do you feel that it's possible to have a love relationship, an intimate relationship, without the component of trust?
In fact, Linda, I think, boy, here goes radio. I hope nobody's going to write this one down. I think the only way to have a relationship is to not trust the other person. Trust, and not trust yourself. If you want to have a relationship and you've tried hard in the past and you've had some problems with it in the past, two things. Number one, you cannot be dependent on that other person having so much power in your life that if they left you, you'd die. So one thing for sure, whatever it is, you got to leave room for the fact that they may do something to take an exit, including die. You got to be able to survive their absence. For a true love, I believe, has that skepticism in it, which includes, I will be okay if this person is not here. Now, I know it doesn't sound like that because most people, Linda, think that true love is, I can't live without you. No, true love is, I will live without you with a great hole in my soul, in my heart. So then comes this other part of it is, do I trust what you say? Well, here's a problem. How could I trust what you say when I know that if you say the wrong thing, I'm going to get angry at you? So let's say I say to you, have you flirted with any men today? Right? And you know that I get very jealous because you flirt with men or men flirt with you. You would say, no, I didn't flirt with any men. No, no men talk to me. No, I didn't. You lied to me because you're afraid of, you didn't want to engender this reaction in me, and you think it's an act of love not to tell me. Well, maybe it is. So therefore, I figure you're trustworthy because you don't flirt. But I'm on guard. And when I find out one time that you are sitting with somebody, talking with them, I'm going to get enraged. So if you're someone who's very angry and very reactive, you cannot trust your partner. I'll say it again. If you're someone who gets very angry or very reactive, you cannot trust your partner because you don't know when you're going to go off the handle. You don't know when you're going to react. So if you are someone who is very angry or tends to get angry or triggers reactions, you cannot trust your partner because they cannot tell you the truth. Now, if trust is based on truth, which I think partially it is, and you're telling people, don't be honest with me, how do you trust them? It's all right. Don't trust them. See, I say throw the whole thing out the window. Forget about trust. You know how trust happens? One of the ways it happens is over time. Over time, Let me go to the military for a minute. In the military, the thing they do with soldiers, sailors, Air Force, is they get you to trust each other. They get you to feel responsible for your fellow soldiers and sailors, and they really work at it. In fact, most of the near-psychotic rants we hear from people who have decided to join up the Army and go fight for America, some of those rants are always, I got to take care of my boys. I got to take care of the troop. I did it for the guys. Now, when I say near-psychotic, because that's the way the Army works. See, the Army works. Back in the old days, you're fighting for God. You know, if you're doing a mission, you were fighting for God. Then you were fighting for the king. Nowadays, you fight for each other. And that is what is the basis of trust. So there's an absolute trust that soldiers have with each other. Almost absolute trust. But don't go home, because you're not going to have that same trust at home, because they're not in a foxhole with you. You know, it's a different kind of feeling. So trust is something that is something you have to really weigh out here. And I'm saying to you, my friends, it's much bigger deal than it should be. Trust grows with time. You spend a couple of years together. You hang out together. You realize you get through some things together. You overcome certain boundaries together. Let's say you're deciding to spend the night with your mate. And you want it to be lovely and romantic. And suddenly he or she picks on you about something. They just get a little irritated. And you kind of let it pass off, and you light a candle instead. And they kind of do something a little more, showing their irritation. And you go, oops, and you start sinking through the ground. And you go going into your own little place, because you realize that something is coming towards you that makes you not trust that you should open yourself right then. And so you back off. That makes sense. It makes sense. We're smarter than we think we are. This is Armand DeMille with Linda Vanella. I want to take your calls today. Was it rhinoceros or hippopotamus? Hippopotamus. Hippopotamus. Hippopotamus is most related to what living mammal, right? You think it's a pig? Do you think it's the alligator? Right? Is the elephant? The answer is the whale. Common ancestors. So I'm sorry, Linda, you wanted to ask something. Say something.
Yes, Armand. I wanted to say, when you spoke about that in a relationship, that trust, that I felt that when you have some kind of a distance between you and a mate, is it that you have the component of trust that person will, in fact, reunite with you, that gives you that ability to be able to say, let me just give her the space, or give him the space, and know and trust that in time it's going to come back together.
Only if you could hold on to him with an electric leash. You know what I mean? I mean, wedding bands should have electric leashes on them. Therefore, if somebody takes off their wedding band, they should get zitzed. If you can never be sure that the person's coming back, unless you have them completely dependent financially, or if you own their babies or stuff like that, if you have children. So now this comes the big thing. Will they not go away? That's where marriage comes in. That's the only place where I take marriage seriously. Because most marriage I see is a temporary contract. But as a permanent contract, the marriage means the following. I want to marry you. And I intend never to leave. And the other person says, I intend never to leave. Now, modern day marriages are, well, we'll see if it works out. But what I consider the real relationship, the real marriage, is to go into that marriage. And when you do those wedding bands or whatever you do, I'm always curious why they don't do tattoos on wedding ring fingers. You know, a nice tattoo would mean you'd have you'd be married by tattoo, and you wouldn't have jewelry on there. Kind of a pretty thing. In fact, why don't you tattoo your names on the other person's bottom? You're going to go in with intention. You may as well do it. go in for the whole thing. You know what I mean? Say, here it is. I'm all yours. Are you all mine? We have no intention of breaking this apart. And then that intention gets reminded to you over and over again. So I think what you say is true, though, Linda. You know, most people always think of their exits. And the exit could be the guy fools around with people, some other woman. She has external relationships, her girlfriends, his men friends. You know, there's something on the outside that I'm going to go to instead of dealing with you. And however that is, you could be married, but not at all home. Or you could be at home and married. And the way that that feels is it feels like an absolute commitment. I am absolutely committed. I remember a man who walked up to a young woman walking down the street, and he told a story. He was a very attractive man, and he said, "Hello, my name is Henry. I would like to meet you." He's the kind of guy that if you saw him, you kind of look and you go, "Oh, yeah, okay, sure. Sure, I'll meet you." He was just so attractive, so healthy, so obviously good-looking, right? And he was smiling, and he was friendly, and he looked fine. And he said, he reported to me, he said, "So this woman says to me, 'Oh, Henry, you're such a good-looking man. I would love to know you. However, I am in a deep, committed relationship with a man who I love very intensely, and I wouldn't do anything that would in any way threaten this connection. So if you had caught me at another time, perhaps I would have been responsive. But right now, and probably forever, I'm going to be busy.'" And he was so impressed by that he said to me, he said, "I wish you the absolute very best of luck." And he said he felt a tear in his eye, because I think that's what he wanted to have his whole life. Maybe be able to say that to someone. 212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls. So do you let anybody in nowadays? And can you let anybody in? And you have to deal with this issue of trust. You know, there are certain personalities that are basically distrusting of everything. Some of you are listening now. You don't trust anything. That's all right. If you grew up as a battered kid, how could you trust anything? You know, if you grew up as a child who didn't have parents protecting you, how could you trust anything? Of course you couldn't. You think you're alone in this world. Of course you don't trust. I was looking at a training film for dogs. And they were doing a training film. They were going to show dogs how to go down a slide for some reason or other. And they said it's very important that this dog never feels a fear when being with humans. And they made it completely safe for the dogs. Wouldn't it be nice if we all had parents like that who said, "Let me give you a safe childhood"? And there will be risks and there will be times that you're going to get hurt and so on and so forth. But at least you can find a place called home where you feel safe. Well, for those of us who didn't get that, it's very difficult. And so trust becomes even more difficult. But, you know, on one other level, we all trust each other anyway. We're all part of the same thing. Whether or not you actively think it or not, we're all part of the same family. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. When I come back, a little trusty music, and then we'll take your calls at 212-209-2900. We'll be right back.
No, I'm not.
Oops. Sorry about that, friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, here at WBAI. Every now and then. Can't trust the machines either. Hey, we're talking about trust. You know, so I think about this political environment, and we think about the Obama administration, and we say, oh, my God, so many people lost trust during the Obama administration. How is that for an administration where trust went out the window? Well, this is not in defense of Obama, but one of the ideas was transparency. And part of the transparency was seeing through Obama as well. But part of that is we have become more transparent. We see everything. Maybe. No, we don't really see everything. We see probably 1/100th of what is. But we're seeing parts of it, and the world is reacting accordingly. And people are reacting. So the reason that we have our politicians at the bottom end of the trustworthy schedule nowadays is because we know. We're aware. We've seen it. In the old days, we used to vote for a president and think he was a hero. We would think that's a great guy. That's a wonderful person. So we used to have that in mind, thinking they weren't politicians, you know? But of course they're politicians. Of course the congressmen are politicians. Of course everybody who asks for a vote is not telling the truth. Our telephone number, 212-209-2900, but I'm going to run for office. Yes, yes, yes. I've got a little contingent here. I figure I've got a few, what will I be? I could go with president for a little while. Just have fun and run away. I'll do it for a day. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Good afternoon, Armand and crew.
Hey, how are you?
All right, Armand. I'm glad that you even want to run.
I will.
But you just said for a little while.
Little while. Because...
Well, let me just say this. Let me shock the WBAI.
Oh,
world.
No. You're going to go into the BAI.
I want Gary Noll to run for president of the United States.
All right.
There is a guy who's definitely driven to bring change and improvement to our society.
Monroe,
I tell
thank you.
You. His acts against the Indian Point nuclear plant and the idea that Obama wants to have 100 more nuclear plants in the United States when we should concentrate on solar, wind, and all the other wave motion energy. The fact that Obama has sided with big business and corporations and the banking industries, those things are totally against our principles. And that he let Troy Davis die when he should have said, I'm against your killing him without giving him a fair trial.
Monroe.
Yeah.
Stop there. Good. Thank you. Thank you for the comment. Thank you for the suggestion. Thank you for bringing it up. I think your point is well made. Okay? Let me give other people a chance to be on the air as well. 212-209-2900. Not a bad intended guy, Monroe. Right? He's been an active part of our station for almost as long as I've been around here. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good.
This is Lionel.
Hello, Lionel.
How are you? I'm calling to comment on the relationship
trust
that you were discussing prior.
Yeah.
I want to say something. I mean, do you believe in the law of attraction?
Well, you know, we'd have to go into great detail about believe in the law of attraction. So, can you just kind of make your statement?
Sure, I can. Okay, I think that this question of trust, trusting a partner, I think we have to first, you know, trust ourselves. You know, we have to make an effort to do so. And I feel that if you do that, then the people that you're going to bring toward you are going to be trustworthy. If you have doubts about yourself, I think you're going to bring people around you that are going to be doubting you.
Right. You know, but now, it's, Lionel, it's a great idea. You know, you're talking from a great concept, and it's almost like if you were preaching, you would say, trust yourself and you'll trust others. But as somebody who comes from the field where I understand people's minds get bent, I know people who could never trust themselves because they live in constant fear. So just telling them, trust yourself, doesn't do it. Doesn't work. It doesn't work even as an invitation. But, you know, I'll tell you what I think you could do. I think everybody could buy a dog and trust the dog. Well, if you're willing to take responsibility. You could start somewhere. Trust your fish. Trust something. See what it's like to have a living being that you could share space with, you know?
I think that, you know, we have to agree that life is a reflection of who we are. And I think that the more you make an effort to take care of yourself, love yourself, then that will be reflected in your reality.
Makes sense to me, Lionel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
I want you to have a wonderful holiday.
Yes, you too, Lionel. Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Of all people, wonderful holiday. I think of Lionel. I think of the window at Macy's, the Lionel trains. When I see them, I'm going to think of him. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Armando. You talking psychiatrist or you talking politics? Which one?
Neither one.
Oh, you're not talking politics?
Neither one. No, I'm not talking politics. I'm
all
talking
right.
Emotions.
All right. I just wanted to ask something, but I guess I have to call back.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Okay.
All right. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi.
Hi, Armand. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, my brother. I always like to listen to your beautiful show that you always do, which is great. You uplift, you know, people. You open mind to people for them to think for themselves. What I would like to add on today to your topic that you had is about trust. Once again, we cannot trust no politics at all. Remember politics?
Well, wait. Now, what's your name?
Like you were saying
What's your name?
My name is Reality Armand.
Okay, Reality Armand. That's a good name. I wish my name were Reality Armand. But the thing I'm going to say is instead of doing what everybody would like to do, which I understand they do, everybody stands up and preaches and says, here's what we should do. Why don't you say I and watch? We'll teach people how to really learn to see themselves by saying, I can't trust any politicians. I mean, I'll agree with you. I don't trust any politicians because they're politicians. So speak from the I rather than from the preacher we. Instead of teaching people what to do, tell me about what you know, your reality.
Okay, great. You know, that's a beautiful point as you are speaking right now. Coming back to politics once again, we can.
I mean, you don't trust enough that you could give me your real name. You see what I mean?
Once again, I do have trust.
And you have every right to do that, yeah.
In teaching people, as you're saying, you know what I mean?
You have trouble. Now, when you were a kid, did you live in a safe environment?
If I live in a what?
Safe world.
Yes, I did live in a safe environment. Yes, I did.
And what
around
was.
Around good people. Around good nature and around, you know, people that we could really trust, meaning as a family.
Now, when you left nature, meaning when you went to a place that didn't have as much nature in it, did you feel the danger?
Yes, I do feel. This is like, you know, I come from the Dominican Republic, by the way, and when I came to America, it's a place that I never felt it in my life.
Energy difference between the Dominican Republic and here.
Right, because the energy from here is so, how I will put it for you, so negative. Negative mean, you know, what people in America have done, you know, to the people from the past and people from the future and people from the present as we're speaking right now. It's a bad energy in America. As Gary Noah was saying in his show on this morning, something's going to come here to America. And what is going to come here to America is going to be a natural disaster. A natural disaster means it's going to, the earth right now in America needs a cleansing. in America. It needs a cleansing. It's when a person is sick, what he needs to do. He has to go to the doctor, or he has to take some natural medicine for him to be cured or for him to feel well. Well, this is what is happening to America right now.
Well,
America
okay.
doesn't feel well okay. right now, you know?
I understand. I don't think it needs a national natural disaster. I think we need an uncovering.
Hold on one second, Armand. Hold on one
sure.
second. By me, when I say a natural disaster, by me is nature is going to take over. By me, it's going to take over. It's going to be for the good. It's not going to be for the bad. But remember, nature always works for the good in life. Never it works for the bad. But once again, when we do put trust on humanity...
Well, I'm not really sure about that. That's already a basis I may have to question, because nature of the lions is not good for the deers. You know
well,
what I mean? I mean, the nature...
It's a survival.
The nature,
it's a survival, right?
Right. So I don't know. I don't trust nature. Nature
what
is...
You mean,
is,
if you don't trust nature, then who you trust then? I'm
no, I trust me.
Okay, but
see, I know
are,
when I say
are,
I don't when I say I don't trust nature, understand what I'm saying. You know, I'm not saying nature is bad.
Well,
but I'm
well,
saying nature is based
life,
on
right?
nature is based on survival of the fittest.
Yeah, but nature is who we are as a human being, no?
Is it
right,
a debate, you know?
I'm gonna take it to you, and I'm gonna have other people to call also. Picture the planet Earth without humanity. Or picture just humanity without, you know, the universe. It wouldn't exist. It wouldn't be no life. So what I'm trying to say, my brother, we shouldn't have no trust at all in politics. We should have trust, like I said, in nature. When you trust nature, you could feel the consciousness that nature is speaking to ourselves. You follow me?
I understand that you feel
safest in
nature. And
when nature speaks to you, so we listen to nature. So that means we are in tune with what Mother Nature is speaking to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Government tell us one thing to do, and what do they do? Wrong stuff from what they're telling us. But when you follow your
well, thank you. You're back.
You
see,
know what it is.
Thank you so much for calling in. Thank
you're
you.
Very welcome, my man. You have a blessing day, my brother.
You too. Bye-bye. See, and on these calls, I try so hard to avoid people who are teaching people. I try, you know, what I've heard from so far, everybody, is they want to preach. This is the way it is. This is what you have to do. Now, those are okay. I understand being a preacher. But what you really want to do is talk about yourself on this program, because then you'll uncover something. And the more you learn about yourself, the safer this world's going to be. So if Mr. Reality, our last guy who called, said, I'm from the Dominican Republic. There I had my family. I had all of nature. It was beautiful. I came here, and I miss my mother. Why would I say he misses his mother? Because at the end, he said the only thing he could trust is Mother Earth. See? And he said that. He said, here, I don't have that safety, that same feeling. So here, I'm at odds with it. But nature's just a force. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. This is Carlos from Queens.
Hello, Carlos.
How you doing? I just got a bit of an issue here. Since you were talking about relationships earlier, I thought about how I have a good relationship, but at the same time, when I'm walking around and I see other beautiful women that are out there, I'm also interested in them.
Sure.
So there's a conflict within me.
Isn't that a terrible thing?
I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Okay, good. Carlos, let's go with this a little bit. In your relationship that you have now, you have a wonderful relationship. You're enjoying somebody, right? But there's instincts in you that are still guiding you on the outside. That may mean the following. It may mean you're not getting enough in where you are, or it may mean that you are not possibly going to get enough now, that you're still at a point where you're going to be ravaging whatever happens, that this isn't your time yet to settle down, because all of that eventually calms down. So right now you're looking everywhere, one place and the other place, and it's either one of two things. Either you have something unsettled in the relationship you have, or you're just not ready to settle down. And a lot of people try to force themselves to settle down. I know men who got married, And they have to the day before they get married, they were having affairs. The day before, saying, well, once I get married, I'll be monogamous. And how does that happen? So I think it either happens or it doesn't happen. And one of the things I've got to say about yourself is, rather than just restrict yourself, which is try to hold yourself back 100% and say this is wrong, maybe if you want a real shot at a great relationship, talk to your mate about it. Talk to her. Say, hey, look, here's this terrible thing that happens to me. I'm sorry, but it happens to me. I see somebody, and I'm very attracted to them. I don't move on it, but I want to talk to you about it and see what the reaction is. Now, if the reaction is such that you regret having told her, then you're not ready for that relationship.
Well, but, this is so far, it's been a long relationship, and, you know, I'm going on 10 years now. And I love the woman, but like I said, it seems to me that the traditions that we have are somehow erroneous. There's something wrong with them. I'm not sure, like I said, I'm trying to explore the and find the truth. But, you know, it seems, I've seen men who have had, you know, kids with other women, with different women, never commit to one personally. He just sort of has like this big family spread around, and somehow it works out. He lives happy, his other women are happy, and his children are happy. You don't see this very often, but it has happened. And, you know, I'm thinking that there's, you know, this is also a possibility within relationships. I'm not saying it's the way everybody's got to go, but it's a possibility.
It's all a possibility, and there's an interesting book by Daphne Rose Kingma, K-I-N-G-M-A, which is about exactly this, how the many different packages that there could be for love itself and how many different forms. Me, personally, I shoot for honesty. Why do I shoot for honesty? Just because I don't want to worry about whether or not I told the truth. So my direction is to try to find the absolutely open, honest relationship. And honest just means tell the truth. Because I don't want to look over my shoulder. I used to be good at lying. Now, every time I kind of do a deception,
I'm talking about, these have been honest relationships.
Yeah, except that women, when you're looking at other women, you're afraid to tell the woman that you're with that you find other women attractive.
The example I gave you earlier was about a man who had different women, and they all knew each other. All
sure.
These women knew each other, and somehow they...
Oh, that one worked then. You're saying that relationship worked.
It worked. It worked for him.
Sure.
He had kids with other women. All the women knew each other, and somehow they were able to get along. You know, when they all got together, they all got along. So,
yeah, many things work. I've even known of that working the other way, where a woman had many men, and that all worked also. It's all interesting. I thank you very much for calling in.
All right. Yep.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. It touches a lot of stuff, but it always gets around the sexuality issue in some way. Hi, let's take another call. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hi, come on, this is Egbert.
Hello, Egbert.
Yes, I'm calling from New Jersey. And I just wanted to give my sentiment on the gentleman who called earlier with regards to Gary Noll. I think he's a great man. He looks out for the betterment and the better things that we should enjoy, or health, happiness, and whatnot. And that he would be president, as the guy disclosed, would be a good way to go, because that is what we need, you know.
So you're saying that part of what you need, you personally need, is to have something you could trust and believe in. And it would fill your heart if you could have somebody like Gary as president, because this you believe is good and sincere. You must be aching on the inside from having such a long life of having to go through people you trusted and distrusted. How old are you now?
71.
71. Yes. Great age. Born 1940, right?
right?
Right. Born right at the beginning of the war, went through that as a kid, went through all of this stuff, and right now, relaxing, saying, am I safe? Am I safe? Having fought your whole life not being safe, looking for somebody to make this world a safer place. I think Gary is a good man.
The exercise, the stuff that he has done throughout his life, the different experiences that he has had, that he has disclosed to us, and what he's still doing with what is happening in New York and other parts of the world, where people are trying to destroy, you know, all life, force, water, air, and whatnot. They're doing stuff to put us in danger.
So wait, now wait. You're moving, you know, you only have about a minute. And yeah. I'm talking to you about specifically you, Egbert.
Yes.
You need to feel safe. You yes. are looking to have somebody lead you so that you could feel better.
Yes.
But I've got you to recognize this need is inside you. I never know if what I see is true. And to me, it's okay, because I trust me. So we'll get there, my friend.
Yeah.
We'll get there. And I thank you very much for calling in.
You're welcome.
Okay, Egbert. Yeah, we all look for heroes. I wanted Superman. I wanted a Lone Ranger to be real, you know? But I'm not saying that what they're saying is not right. I mean, Gary Nolan may make a great president. Or something, or leader or politician. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I'm going to be leaving you for now. And when I get back, which will be next Tuesday, we'll bring you some more stuff. You can send me an email at armand@brainlink.com or thepositivemind.com.